Please join me in the book of Psalms, chapter 23, as we continue our walk through Psalm 23. I'll be reading the first two verses and the first part of verse 3. Hear the inerrant, infallible word of the living God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. I believe it to be true that at some point in time in the life of every Christian, a restoration of the soul is needed. For professors and pastors in this capacity, they refer to it as a sabbatical. But it doesn't need to be that prolonged, significant event of a sabbatical. It can be those times when you, when myself, we just have faced trials and struggles, and we just need to step back and work on that, let the Holy Spirit feed. Restoration of the soul. Restoration simply means to return to an improved condition. At the hands of our Lord, the Christian receives many blessings and gifts. As we've spoken of many times, our most critical need is met by the Good Shepherd, and that is our salvation. But there are other blessings in life at the hands of our Lord. Safe places to live, good homes, food on the table, good friends and fellowship among the church family, our basic needs met. And so we might ask the question, how can a Christian come to a time when they need that quiet restoration? I mean, the Lord provides amply, meets our every need. And so why can we, or how can we ask the question, or make the statement as I made, that I believe that at some point in time in the life of every Christian, there needs to be that time of soulful restoration. Why? Well, quite simply, as my friend Maury Loing, pastor down at Christ Church in Denver, as he would say, it's just sin. It's just sin. We live in a sinful world, surrounded by sinful people. We ourselves sinners, and trials come. Jesus said himself, in this world you will have troubles. He didn't put a condition on it. He didn't put a qualifier on it. He simply stated emphatically, you will have troubles. And some trials and troubles, they can take us to our very limits. I've been with some of you through some of these trials. You were with Judy and myself when we went through ours. And some of these things we go through in life can take us to that very limit. And it feels like that our souls are just being drained out. There's just, and so we need that restoration. Even the King David, the writer of this psalm that I just read a portion of, who was loved greatly by God, knew what it was to be cast down and dejected. He had experienced defeat. He felt the frustration of being sought after by King Saul. He was spurned by his own son. And then he sinned greatly himself through adultery and murder. In Psalm 42, he writes, and he writes this as many places, this is just one. In Psalm 42, he writes, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why the unease within me? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Here is a man loved greatly by God, and his soul is in turmoil. David needed restoration. Now, in Psalm 42, he used a very particular phrase, why is my soul cast down? That is very intentional, I believe, on his part. You see, as a young shepherd tending his father's sheep, he would have seen a sheep cast down. Sheep are built in such a way that if they fall over on their sides and then on their back, it is very difficult, almost impossible, for them to get back up. They flail their legs in the air and cry out bleeding for something, someone to come. Now, after a few hours of this, and I'm not going to get into all the biologicals here, just a short statement. After a few hours of laying on their backs, they are not able to exhaust, and I'll leave it there, the gases, and it begins building up in their stomachs, and their stomachs become hardened, and they can no longer breathe. Eventually, the sheep will lie there and suffocate if they continue on their back, cast down. Also, the blood flow to their legs is interrupted because of the breathing, etc. And so, once the shepherd does come and lift the sheep up, he has to hold them for a while. And so the circulation begins. And so cast down on a sheep is incredibly a bad situation for the sheep. And as I was doing the research on this, I went to a couple of YouTube videos where they would video the sheep that had been cast down. And it's a pitiful sight. The poor sheep's just laying there and crying. And until the shepherd comes and picks the sheep up, it'll lay there and die. This is why it's so necessary. One of the reasons is why it's so necessary that the shepherd must be in the field with their sheep all the time. Because the cast down can happen at any moment. Also, the sheep become very vulnerable. And so the wolves and the coyotes, when they see this event going on, they know that's easy prey when the sheep is cast down. So the shepherd is in the field with the sheep each and every day, watching over them and counting them every day. Sometimes multiple times a day he counts the sheep. And if there is one sheep missing, he goes out and searches for it. And typically when he finds that sheep, it has been cast down. They're laying, flailing on his back. He leaves the sheep herd and goes and looks for the one. This picture comes to mind when we read Matthew 18:12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? Absolutely he does. That's what a good shepherd does. That's what a good shepherd does to restore a sheep that has been cast down. And how does he restore this sheep? It's a very intimate kind of thing. The shepherd goes over and literally picks up the sheep and straddles the sheep and holds the sheep between his legs and rubs his underneath his belly and begins to rub his legs, speaking very quietly into his ear until he sees that the sheep can bear his own weight, and then he lets the sheep go. I think you can see what was in David's thinking when he wrote that phrase of the good shepherd saying, "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. He sees an incredible parallel in himself when he wrote Psalm 42. Why is your soul cast down? Why is it trembling within you? Well, he had been cast down. And the good shepherd, Yahweh, comes and restores the sheep, David. Gently, gently. Now, I think it would be easy to think that when we become depressed, when we become cast down, when we become dejected, fighting through some spiritual battle, dilemma, that might God just ultimately be disgusted with us. Are you there again? Truly, are you there again? But I hope we all know this is not the case. As the earthly shepherd would look at the sheep that's been cast down, does he walk up to him and say, "Are you there again?" He knows the sheep knows no better. So he gently reassures him and brings him back. And we, the Christians, know that our God will do this because we only need to look at the Father's love for his people in Jesus Christ. The love of the Father seen in the work of Christ must reassure the believers at all times. When we find ourselves in those cast down positions, when we find ourselves in those dilemmas, we should never, ever, ever question the love and the care and the compassion of the Good Shepherd. The Lord has more compassion for cast down men and women than an earthly shepherd has for his sheep. We need only look at the Gospels and the dealings of our Lord Jesus Christ with the people throughout the Gospels, because we see him time and time again reassuring those who have fallen in their sin. The adulterous woman assured her and put her on track. The Apostle Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. The Apostle Peter was not even at the crucifixion. He was off hiding. And then what did Jesus do after the resurrection? He sought Peter out. He sought Peter out, not to condemn him, not to condemn, but to restore him gently. And to also give him his charge of ministry. Feed my sheep. Go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my lambs. The compassion of the good shepherd, restoring the soul of one who knew that he had disappointed his Lord. Have you ever disappointed your Lord? Can't count. Can't count. But just like he did with Peter, comes through the Holy Spirit and reassures and comforts and sets you back again. All right, let's dig a little deeper in this idea of sheep being cast down in a parallel with Christians. What causes this? Well, first of all, sheep are always looking for a soft spot to lie down. As I was watching some of these videos, you would watch the sheep, they would walk around, and when they would find a little depression, down they'd go. Down they would go. They will search out a soft hollow in places in the field, and they choose that comfortable depression, and when they lie down, if they do not lie down just exactly right, over on their backs they go. Well, in the Christian life, there's a great danger for us looking for soft spots. The comfortable places where we see little hardship or little trials. The times when we think we've all figured this thing out and we're set. In these soft spots, the Christian becomes soft and then is not able to withstand the challenges and the trials of the world when they do come. Just as the earthly shepherd would rescue the cast down sheep, our Lord comes. And with some act of discipline, or some change or challenge that causes you some distress, but causes you to move from that soft spot. And know that the Christian ministry is not an easy thing. But when Jesus says, I will be with you always, and the Holy Spirit has come as a guarantee, he restores your soul in that act. Sheep can be cast down if they carry too much wool. If they're not sheared appropriately and timely, the wool gets too long. It gets matted, and it causes the burden of weight for them to literally become cast down, weighted down. To remedy this problem, the sheep must be sheared. The shepherd goes in, cuts the wool off. It's not an easy process, nor one the sheep like, until it's over. Until it's over. And as one shepherd would say, you could see a peacefulness if you can see that in a sheep. Well, our wool can become too long, and it can become matted. The trials, the heartaches, the busyness of life, the desires to keep up, all these things can weigh us down. And just like the sheep, the Christian must be sheared. Discipline is in order for the Christian. It may be unpleasant in the beginning, but in time the weighty matters of life become more acceptable. A certain peacefulness returns. It's the love of the good shepherd to know when one of his sheep needs shearing. Doing away with the busyness of life, overcoming the challenges and the trials, seeing them as lesser than you first saw. Here's a good one. Another reason for sheep to become cast down is they get fat, overweight, and they literally cannot carry the weight any longer. And so they lie down and meh, boom, over they go. Quite literally, meh, boom, over they go. Well, we can become overweight And I'll use just one example or one area, and it's our material goods. Materialism. One professor down at RTS I had said that is the number one sin of the United States. Materialism. We like our stuff. We can become successful in business. We can have the cars and the stuff, the homes, and we think this is God has blessed us and we have arrived, and this is the fruit of our righteousness, all these material goods. And then we can have this sense of being overly self-assured, overly self-reliant. There's a church in Revelation that the angel of Christ himself, actually wrote to John, or told John to write about this particular thing. Revelation chapter 3, to the church in Laodicea, he writes, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." It may become necessary, just as the earthly shepherd would put the sheep on a regimented diet, sometimes we need to be put on a diet and be loosed from some of those material things that burden us down. He restores my soul. To this point in Psalm 23, we've identified that the Lord is my shepherd. And being the good shepherd, being the sheep of a good shepherd, I shall not want. And he meets every need. First, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, providing the nourishment through his holy word that I so badly need. He then leads me by the still waters, the blessings of the Holy Spirit feeding, refreshing, reviving, healing. And these things done by the good shepherd, these things by the green pastures, by the still waters, these are the things he uses to restore our souls, that restoration. However, there is one that stands above and beyond all of this. The greatest act of restoration by our good shepherd was his work on the cross, returning the Christian to the relationship with the Father that was broken by sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and our good shepherd gave us new life. The sheep that are weak, sick, and injured, the shepherd, the earthly shepherd, heals and binds up and restores that sheep to the productive life that he needs for that sheep to have, able to stand and walk and feed at the shepherd's leading. Our old life not only left us dead in our sins, but it left us weak. It left us sick. It left us damaged. It is the good shepherd who comes, restoring our souls, binds up our wounds, heals our weaknesses, and gives strength in place of weakness. In Ezekiel 34, the entire chapter of 34 Ezekiel is about the good shepherd. We read this of the good shepherd. He says, "I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak." Folks, that's you and me. We stray. We've been injured. We've been sick, are sick, wounded. And he says, "I will strengthen the injured. I will strengthen the weak." That's a good shepherd. That's a good shepherd. The literal translation of this phrase, if you go into the Hebrew language and read it straight out as it is written, this phrase, "He restores my soul," is actually, "He causes my life to return." He causes my life to return. And this is literally what has happened to the Christian. Our lives have been returned to what God intended in the beginning. When he created Adam and Eve, he had them to be in that perfect, intimate relationship with him, strolling in the cool of the garden daily. That's the relationship he created us to have. When sin came along, that relationship was broken. It's gone. Until the Good Shepherd steps in with that restoring work of salvation and brings us back to that relationship that we have, that intimate relationship with God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. I commune now, you as a believer, commune now with God very similarly as Adam and Eve did. Not in physical contact, we'll get that one day. He causes my life to return. And that is literally what has happened when he says he restores my soul, puts me back in that relationship that I need so badly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. And he restores my soul. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the restoring work of Jesus Christ on the cross, first and foremost. But also in the daily walk of life, when we face the challenges, face the trials, send your Holy Spirit to restore us, bringing us the good word to feed us, reviving our spirits under the work of the Holy Spirit. He restores our soul. We thank you for the love and care of the Good Shepherd that restores our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.